feel like that's a good maneuver that can help rural Florida provide recovery?
To ensure that kids are safe, but at the same time, adults are still getting the products that they need.
You're trying to find ways to justify the forgetfulness of, that your parents are suffering with, and you're thinking that, oh, it's just a bout of just age.
From the fourth floor of the Capitol Rotunda, you're listening to WFSU Public Media's Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com.
This is Capitol Report, the podcast. I'm Tom Flanagan. Among today's Capitol action, Florida's Rural Renaissance Initiative has cleared its first committee stop. The measure aimed at boosting rural growth is a priority for Senate leadership. And as Adrian Andrews reports, Tallahassee's Republican Senator Corey Simon is sponsoring the bill.
Simon's Rural Renaissance bill received unanimous approval at its first committee stop. The proposal would allocate about $200 million of the state's budget to go towards supporting infrastructure, education, and health care. Simon says it's important to bring more resources to the state's fiscally constrained communities.
But I think that there are things that we need in these communities to be successful going forward. And I was always taught that if you're not growing, you're dying.
Simon's bill would use $50 million to bring telehealth kiosks and mobile health care units to rural counties. The bill also includes money for projects like fixing county roads. The Tallahassee Republican has a strong ally for his proposal in the form of Senate President Ben Albritton. The citrus farmer has made saving counties with declining populations a priority this session.
That's a huge difficulty to those counties. I actually live in one.
If passed, the bill would create the Office of Rural Prosperity within the Department of Commerce. It would be tasked with doling out $1 million grants to 8 declining counties, including Gaston and Taylor. Albritton says the goal would be to use the money to try to boost their populations.
I mean, we're hopeful, right? That's where we're starting with it. And we feel like that's a good maneuver that can help rural Florida provide recovery.
Albritton says he wants to find ways to improve the quality of life in rural communities while preserving what he thinks makes rural counties special. I'm Adrian Andrews.
Florida will expand a look at companies whose shareholders include the state pension fund. That after targeting corporate initiatives that Governor Ron DeSantis and his allies deem part of woke ideology. DeSantis and members of the state cabinet today backed a resolution that will expand scrutiny of corporate policies. The resolution came after the cabinet ratified a class action lawsuit filed last month by Attorney General James Uthmeyer that alleges Target Corporation did not properly disclose to investors the risks of a 2023 LGBTQ Pride campaign. That drew a consumer backlash and caused a drop in the retailer's stock price. DeSantis pointed to the state trying to block companies from catering to left-wing activists.
People are free to do that on their own time, but if you have a fiduciary obligation to represent the shareholder interests, those tangents are not fulfilling that fiduciary obligation.
Previously, the state has targeted corporate initiatives involving environmental, social, and governance, and diversity, equity, and inclusion standards. The Florida legislature is holding a 3-day work group about whether hemp products need to be more tightly regulated. Tristan Wood reports lawmakers heard from hemp industry representatives today after getting an update from state officials yesterday.
According to the University of Florida, a report they made in January of 2024, we are losing 120 acres of agricultural land a day in Florida. That would be 2 million acres of land by 2070.
That's Zach Farr, Chief Operations Officer of Biotech Applied Research. He and his family are farmers and have started growing hemp plants since licensing to grow the plant opened up in 2019.
The opportunity was to use an alternative crop. I didn't care what it was, as long as it was something that we can use to keep our farmland farmland.
The hemp plant can make Delta 8 and 10, cannabinoids that have similar intoxicating effects to THC and marijuana. But they're not regulated like traditional THC products are and other intoxicating products like alcohol. The legislature in recent years passed prohibitions on marketing hemp products to children. But Florida Agriculture Commissioner Wilton Simpson says the rules need more teeth.
Our department has removed nearly a million packages of those products in the last year and a half. We have come a long way, but we need more tools to ensure that these products are not packaged, colored, flavored, or scented to be attractive to kids who may think they are getting a Starburst or a Skittle, but instead are getting a hold of a substance that can really hurt them.
Some Florida growers like Randy Rembert say they wouldn't be opposed to further regulations. Rembert says he thinks the changes need to be made carefully.
I'm not against any type of regulation. I just believe that it's all about the structure of the regulation to ensure that kids are safe, but at the same time, adults are still getting the products that they need or desire.
Charles Bailey's is the CEO of ABC First Wine and Spirits. His company has started selling hemp drinks in their stores over the last 6 months. He wants the drinks regulated in the same way alcohol and cigarettes are regulated.
If you'd have told me a year or two ago that I would be here in Tallahassee talking about hemp-derived THC beverages, I would have told you you were crazy. But here we are. You know, it's not the first time the market has proven me wrong or us wrong. And it is the result of major changes in consumer demand and behavior.
Florida Department of Agriculture Food and Safety Director Dr. Matt Curran says different states have taken different approaches to regulating hemp.
Arizona has two bills this year. One is to regulate adult hemp beverages as alcohol and license, test, and label and register hemp-derived products. In Massachusetts, there's a bill that would allow the sale of hemp beverages. And in Mississippi, they're attempting to legalize consumable hemp products. So you see, every state has a different paradigm.
Governor Ron DeSantis and other Republicans have been allies of the hemp industry, which has financially supported the party. The legislature's decision now to discuss hemp regulation comes after legislative leaders butted heads with the governor earlier this year during the special sessions on immigration. The work group is scheduled for a final meeting to discuss any recommendations about potential future legislation. I'm Tristan Wood.
Alzheimer's is a dreaded word, yet it describes a condition faced by nearly 600,000 Floridians, which means their families and caregivers are impacted by it too. Now, as Margie Menzel reports, lawmakers are looking into legislation to beef up Florida's response.
Priscilla Jean-Louis is a caregiver for her mother, Vera, who was diagnosed with Alzheimer's in 2016.
Our journey may have been completely different if I had known what I know now.
Jean-Louis is also an advocate for people with dementia and Alzheimer's and for their caregivers.
The residents of Florida must be better educated on the importance of brain health and reducing the risk of dementia, the warning signs and symptoms of Alzheimer's, so they can speak with their doctors about their cognitive health and, if diagnosed, be informed about what resources are available.
Jean-Louis says a bill by Zephyr Hills Republican Senator Danny Burgess will help with that. The measure aims to expand public education about forms of dementia.
Florida is one of the only states with a high prevalence of Alzheimer's that currently does not fund a public awareness campaign or program for the disease. Education and awareness are critical components, especially for a disease that impacts so many families in our state and will continue to impact our community for years to come.
Alzheimer's disease is a type of dementia that causes people to lose their cognitive and bodily functions. It's estimated that the prevalence of Alzheimer's in Florida has increased significantly. Due to Florida's high percentage of people over the age of 65, that's 21% of the state's population, this number is expected to grow. Jean-Louis is advocating for the bill, she says, so that families in the future can be more proactive and have more time with their loved ones. Her work is personal for Tallahassee Republican Senator Corey Simon. As he told the committee members hearing the bill, his mother has Alzheimer's.
You go through that stage of denial first, and you're trying to find ways to you're trying to find ways to justify the forgetfulness of that your parents are suffering with, and you're thinking that it's just a bout of just age.
The Department of Elder Affairs oversees the Alzheimer's Disease Initiative, which provides services for people with Alzheimer's and their families. The services include memory disorder clinics, respite care, and other support services for caregivers. Burgess's bill requires the Department of Elder Affairs to contract for the development and implementation of the Alzheimer's Disease Awareness Program. It requires the Alzheimer's Disease Advisory Committee to evaluate the program each year and determine if future funding is needed. It would take effect July 1st, 2025.
I tell people all the time it's probably the toughest disease to deal with for the families that have to deal with it. Because the person that has the Alzheimer's, my mom still denies that she has it. And so you try and find places to smile and laugh when you can, but it is truly tough.
According to the bill analysis, it's estimated that more than 6 million Americans have Alzheimer's. Research predicts that by 2060, there will be an expected 13 million people living with Alzheimer's disease nationwide. I'm Margie Menzel.
Our regular Capitol Report correspondents are Adrian Andrews, Gina Jordan, Regan McCarthy, Margie Menzel, and Tristan Wood. Shows are available Monday through Thursday by 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time, wherever you get your podcasts. And on many of these Florida public radio stations, you can tune in each Friday to catch the latest on all things going on at the Capitol. That show's also available in podcast form. Technical assistance comes from Taylor Cox, and I'm Tom Flanagan. This is Capitol Report, the podcast from WFSU Public Media.
Funding for Capitol Report is provided by the following. The Florida AFL-CIO, representing over 1 million union members, retirees, and their families, committed to building a better future for all Floridians by promoting healthy communities, economic justice, and dignity in the workplace. Online at flaflcio.org. And from Rambana and Ritchie, immigration attorneys concentrating on complex immigration across the nation from Florida's capital and their mobile office. Self-sponsored green cards, I-9 compliance, and deportation defense. Rambana and Ritchie, on the web at rambana.com. Capitol Report is a production of WFSU Public Media in Tallahassee.